Overkill, profusion, excess, surplus, too much, abundance. When it comes to the body of Christ, God is just a big show-off, heaping spiritual gifts on his people in an embarrassment of riches.
I'm Laura Pace.
And I'm Jessica Denny.
You're listening to Embarrassment of Riches, where we explore the wisdom, passion, power, and grace that God has showered on the women of Dallas Bible.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, Laura.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about our interview tonight with Christy Kirby.
That's right. We are sitting in your... what we call the place to be in your house with your mic all set up, and we've got Christy Kirby here, who you just heard a brief intro about, but we want to get to know you better.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We've got some questions prepared, but like you said, you tend to go off script, and so do we, so that works well.
Okay.
That works in our favor. Real quick, just tell us about yourself.
Okay. So my name is Christy Kirby, and I've been married for 7 years, and I have been at DBC for 2 years, and I just realized I probably just told them all the things that you were going to do in my intro. Sorry.
That's great.
That's the basics. Let's see. We're new to Dallas. We've been here for 5 years.
Christy, what are you talking about? We naturally talked about you at the beginning. That wasn't a pre-recorded intro at all.
You're blowing up our secret.
Start over.
And action. Because we appeared so professional before this.
Well, we nailed the hi, Jessica.
Yeah, we did
part.
So well.
So you did it again. Now you must be like, hey, what's up?
No, anyway, you're saying, so you've been at DBC for 2 years, mm-hmm. and you have one daughter.
One daughter. She's three. Very busy child. I feel like I have two.
What's her name again?
Carson.
Okay,
Carson.
That's right. And she's so cute.
She's
and
very cute.
Wearing the most precious little outfits every time I see her.
Yes, they're all stained and dirty, but yes, that is my child.
Well, I feel like I look distracted because I'm looking at my phone because I emailed myself something this last week, mm-hmm. or maybe 2 weeks ago, knowing that we were going to interview you. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could read it because you posted it on the Dallas Bible Church Women's Facebook page. And what it said was, your name, and you said something had been on your heart for a very long time, and that was that you were reaching out to any woman at church who felt like they maybe didn't have a person or didn't have a place that they fit in. And you put your phone number out on social media and said, if you don't have a person, talk to me. I love connecting people. I love meeting new people. I love getting to know people, and I want you to have a place, essentially, is what it said.
Classic seven.
Yeah, that's right. Back to the Enneagram. Which I thought was so neat and kind, and that kind of brings us to one of the main things that we're trying to do with the podcast is just talk to you about your giftedness. And I feel like that showed maybe at least your...
passion.
I don't know if you're gifted in making friends. You could be terrible at it, but it shows your passion. I'm just kidding. I know you're not terrible at making friends.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? Or
what brought that?
What prompted mm-hmm. you to write that?
Well, I was... I had prayed for... Well, it's like kind of a long story. So when I had like a change of life at 34, and so I left one life and started mm-hmm. a new life, and then I moved with my husband 3 states. So I have made new friends... every, you know, mm-hmm. couple years. And so, like, I guess, and now that I'm older, I appreciate friendships more now mm-hmm. than I probably did before, maybe because, like, motherhood's a little bit lonely. Sometimes being married can be a little lonely. And so I had been praying for friends, and I just realized how much God in this 2 years has brought to me through DBC. Mm-hmm. Just so many friendships and, like, real friendships and, like, just real conversations. And one day I was at church on Sunday, and like people just kept coming up and talking to me, and I just like for like a second I was just like, oh, I feel so like joyful and like popular. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of made me realize like, oh, thank you God, this is something I pray for, connections and that people I could care about and could care about me. But then I realized like, what if somebody's seeing that and they don't know like, oh, this is something Christy prayed about and God mm-hmm. blessed her with this, like what if somebody else doesn't feel that? And so mm-hmm. that kind of put it on my heart that there's probably people looking around thinking, you know, I don't have that and I want that, or I feel you know, unseen, and then just kind of built on there. And also, like, I'm real extroverted, so I know sometimes that's easier for me to show up in a room and, you know, give my opinion or give my heart, but maybe it's harder for some people. And so I feel like God just really put it on my heart to post that and just put myself out there to help somebody.
Now, would you tell us the women that responded to that?
I'm just teasing.
That would be a whole other podcast.
I
think that that is really neat. And I think that it stemmed out of your gratefulness and your thankfulness for where you are at DBC and knowing a lot of people and having a lot of connections. Makes it that much more sweet.
Thank you.
Christy, how did you come to faith?
So I was raised by a single mom. I mean, during my early childhood, I did have two stepdads at different times, but for the most part, I had a single mom who was on welfare and, just like, I guess going to college, like, you know, cause they'll put you through college too. And so she was like an atheist is what she described herself. So we lived in like low income apartments and there was just a lot of single moms. And there was a neighbor, she was a single mom also, but she took like all the kids in the neighborhood to church. And so for like 3 years, like every Wednesday night, every Sunday, like camps, she just took us to this Church of God. I don't even really know what they believe, but I just know that it was like a 45 minutes away church.
Oh, wow.
It was a little bit affluent, so they had a lot of programs, and they just really focused on memorizing scripture. And it just really, I didn't know who Jesus was. I found that out later. But that in my early life told me there's a God, he cares about me, and if I need something, I could go to him. And there was a couple of times in my childhood, like traumatic things that happened, and I went to God and he answered those prayers immediately. And so that just put a foundation for like, when I'm ready for you, God, you're there for me, and you know, you're gonna take care of me. So that's why I believe in God.
So how did your mom feel about like you going to church and embracing faith?
She wasn't like it. She says that she was an atheist, but it wasn't like she was like
she's not an angry atheist.
Yeah, she was just like, I think really she
more agnostic.
Yeah, she just I like the free babysitting, I guess maybe. Or you know, it was the 80s. Like she, you know, people were a little more freer with your kids. You know, because this lady took like a bunch of us kids in a very small car with no car seats, no booster seats. It's just a different time. Like I would never let my kindergartner do that, obviously, but you know, it's definitely how God found me.
That's awesome. You mentioned that you didn't really get it about Jesus back then. So what was that turning point where you
So my mom was in her second marriage, and they were having a lot of problems. And so I prayed to God. I was like, Lord, if you would just make them Christians, then they would be okay. And so they ended up still divorcing, but 6 months later, she overheard a conversation about being baptized and at work. And that prompted her to start studying about what we called then the New Testament church. And that it was very different than what maybe she had thought growing up. And so then we were baptized like 2 months apart. When I was in the sixth grade, and she's been a faithful Christian ever since. So it's like that was the second huge prayer that I asked and God delivered on. And so I learned, you know, as a New Testament, I was Church of Christ, if anybody has any familiarness with that.
My husband.
Really?
He's from the Mecca of Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas.
Okay, nice. So he knows. I was going to go to Lipscomb. He knows. So we just immersed ourselves, and my mom was like, you know, we're at church like 3 times a week. And so I'm sure like the whole Jesus was introduced to me, but I just didn't get it. And I felt like when I went to college, maybe if I had a better assessment, I always knew like a piece of my faith was missing, because the worldly stuff just was so, or maybe that's just how every kid is like, oh, the worldly stuff is so good, you know?
Sure.
So when I went, you know, so I was really good in high school and like, you know, really involved in the, you know, youth group and taught class and always, you know, camp counselor and just, you know, all the social stuff.
Making all the decisions parents want their kids to make.
Yeah, except for when boys are concerned.
Right.
Which is nice because my parents love my husband now more than they love me. I always joke. But, and there's a good story there too. But so I just went to college and just kind of did the thing I think some people do. I just kind of got further and further away. Like, you know, didn't get involved with the college group there. Got really involved with the sorority and just kind of started taking steps away.
It just felt easier that way.
Yeah, and so it just took steps away from, just really didn't care about God, I guess.
What brought you back?
So I'm a nurse. I was a nurse, an ICU nurse. I think you might have known that.
I don't think I did.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so I had really like high ambitions, I guess. So I was like, oh, I want to go to CRNA school, and mm-hmm. was real focused about like, you know, I had scholarships for college. When you have a single mom, you can get scholarships, and just very like driven by like, oh, the worldly standards, like this will make me feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. And so, I got like a job right out of, nursing school in surgical ICU, and
wow,
you know, just real like career oriented, and just mm-hmm. immersed myself into that. And then, I like hurt my back at work and got prescribed pain medication. And so very quickly became addicted to that. I don't know if that would have, I think it's very addictive medicine to begin with.
Yes.
I think I was just in a spiritual place that,
you were susceptible.
I was mm-hmm. super susceptible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so.
Is that, and I'm not to pry, cause this is not supposed to be a counseling session where you have to like,
oh, I'm already counseling.
But is that kind of what, that, like you mentioned, like a turning point?
That was a huge turning point. So that was several years of just like going to work, coming home, and going to sleep, like passing out. There was like mm-hmm. no anticipations of holidays. There was no vacations. My parents, like they would plan something and I wouldn't show up. So it was like, it started out slow, mm-hmm. but then it got to a point where I was like, actually.
And that was because of your addiction.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like it started out just like occasional. And then, you know, if you have a prescription and you think you have this back injury, you know, Satan will just use that and be like, oh, you need this. And
mm-hmm. sure.
And then as you guys know, then the medicine quits working. So it's like, and you're just
mm-hmm. doing, you're just taking it to not feel bad.
Yes. Yeah. And
or so, you start looking for the next thing that's going
right.
to feel better.
So luckily I didn't, you know, I was still a nurse. So I had to, you know, I feel like if I maybe had another profession and was exposed to more things, it might've been a whole different story. Like mm-hmm. luckily I never, you know, had any like bad things happen, I guess, mm-hmm. per se. So, long story short, unbeknownst to me, like the world kind of started crashing around me. I had a car accident and I was, like bedridden, I guess, you know, I couldn't walk on my, cause my knee was inflamed. So I was like, wow. Then I wasn't like having that safety net of like going to work every day. And so I just got really depressed and, like the Holy Spirit just like, I don't know, I hadn't been praying in years and like, I was really depressed. My life around me was falling apart. And so I just started praying for God to fix those things around me. Like, please fix my parents' divorce. You know, if you mm-hmm. make them Christians, then everything mm-hmm. will be fine. And I just was like, if you would fix this relationship or fix this situation, then everything will be fine. And what he did was so much better. So then my, unbeknownst to me, my parents had been contacted and they didn't know, but then they came and got me. And so then that's been it. So
that's a great story. You are proving my point. I say this to patients all day long. And you know, I work in mental health and I'm a PA and we deal with opioid addiction is the primary addiction that I treat.
And you know that.
Yeah. So I treat all kinds yeah. of different things, but but as far as addictions go, that's the main one. That and alcohol addiction is the most of what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And, I always tell addiction patients like they are my least favorite population and they are my favorite population. Mm-hmm. They're my least favorite because when they are not healthy, like it's very difficult mm-hmm. To work with and it's hard to get to the bottom of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But when they are in recovery, they give you faith in humanity that God can redeem people mm-hmm. that like, that he can just take brokenness and make it beautiful. And, so I love seeing that in patients, and I didn't even know that about your story.
Okay. Yeah.
So I like, it just makes me like you more.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a little quick thing. Like, I don't know how much my husband will be a part of this, but, so like 2 months before all this took place, my, stepdad, he was praying for me at Winterfest. It was like a big Church of Christ convention. And he was saying like, oh Lord, I think it's this relationship she's in. Like, Lord, if you could just like help her to have somebody else, like she would be like better and whatever's going on because I wasn't calling and being in contact mm-hmm. really. And then he was chaperoning with my husband now, Cameron, in that event. And he was like, well, if you could just give Christy somebody like Cameron, I mean, that would be great. Then everything, he's like, oh, but he's younger and like, they don't even know each other. But then like 2 months later, we met and fell in love. So it's like, he really, wow. So to me, like praying for things is huge. Like, because I have, like I asked God for 3 things for my daughter. I wanted a left-handed child, a blue eye. These are just weird, you know? And then I wanted her to be joyful. And like those, she is those 3 things.
You're transitioning me into my next question,
sorry.
But hold on. Here we go, Laura, are you ready?
Oh, I'm
it's
ready.
An edit alert.
It's an edit alert.
It's an edit alert.
It's happening again.
She said,
That's right. An edit alert. I told you there'd be one, at least one every time. Let me come back to what she's talking about, what she prayed for her daughter. Okay. So don't let me forget that. But here's the edit alert. Okay. So
this is where Jess completely derails whatever we
right. Just to break the conversation apart. And so there's no flow. So just so there's no flow to the podcast.
Fresh.
Yeah, just keep it fresh.
Just keep you on your toes.
So you said that you had three prayers for your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We had three expectations for our children based on the way that Kyle and I look. Mm. We knew that we would have a blue-eyed child. We knew that they would have huge nostrils and flat butts. And by golly, if they don't.
It's I'm because they have your children now.
Well, see how my nostrils are? It's like you could fit, I say I have quarter nostrils. You could stick a quarter in my nostril. Like, they're very long nostrils.
They're not that long. I mean, they're not.
Do you want me to get a quarter?
I really don't want that.
My question is, how do you know that about yourself? Like, are you doing the side mirror?
I've seen a side mirror and gone, wow.
Have you ever put a quarter in?
No. Okay. I put other things in.
I mean, I feel like maybe a dime.
A dime? You could fit a dime in your tiny nose.
She has the nose people I want, right?
This nose is not fitting anything in it.
Maybe a pea in there.
Yeah, I could do some edit alerts about my tiny
nose. So that was not the... This is not... I broke up the transition because it would have been a great way for me to just segue into what Krista was talking about.
No, yeah, that would be too professional.
That would be too professional.
That's right. Exactly. Last time she sang with the edit alert, so at least this time
we
didn't get any singing.
Okay.
I call that a win.
But
now back to you.
Yes, but she had said you had that you really believe in prayer, and that you had like prayed those specific things for your daughter, and it leads me to our another question that we are going to asking everybody. Mm-hmm. What's your big ask prayer? What's like
we have to really enunciate the
big
A
ask
on that for
prayer.
The church.
What's the thing? Like, and specifically in, well, I guess we haven't really talked so much about...
I think in your giftedness. So, we gave you the questions beforehand. And I guess part A of that question is, how do you think God has uniquely gifted you?
Okay.
And then the big ask prayer is, what would be your dream for how God would use those gifts?
Okay.
So, that's the big ask prayer.
Okay, I think the uniquely he's gifted me, I really, like, enjoy, like, getting to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So my, like, if you, at the end of the day, if Cameron's like, what was the best part of your day? It's always going to be those, like, moments I have with somebody, and I had a conversation, and they, like, told me something that they needed to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or they, like, shared something that they wouldn't. Or they got teary-eyed over this thing that they're praying about, and God's answering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, being that person that people are just drawn to tell stuff to.
Just knowing people.
Right, I really, like, those little small fragments of, like, people interactions. Those, you know, even my daughter's cute all day long and does like 10,000 great things, but it's like those are the highlights of my day. So I think I really like adults and more kids. That's like a whole other story about, like, I didn't really want to be a mom, but, you know, I prayed about that for a long time. That was something God thought I needed to do, and I can see now, yes, I needed to be a mom because I'm learning so much about him. So then that brings me back to
mostly like how to pray that your child will stop throwing fits, or
just like how to, like,
you don't know anything that you thought you knew.
Yeah, well, like how they're just so childlike. Like, I always give the example of like so one time we were eating, like, just by ourselves having a meal, and like she had like 8 straws, and one of the straws went on the floor, and like she was going crazy over the straw that went on the floor, and then she had the 7. I was like, but you have the 7, and she wanted the one on the floor. And so I was like, okay. And then just like in that moment, God told me, like, I go crazy after the straw on the floor.
Yeah.
Let's go.
How often do we want that 8th straw?
Yeah. So I was like, we're going crazy over the straw on the floor. And so we both get on the floor and get it. And like, so it's like little ways that God shows me his love more through my interactions with her. But then also how much, like, he has unlimited patience. Like, I don't have that. Like, he knows how to, like, he is completely delighted. I'm not always completely delighted with her. You know, those little things that, however, I was like, how much more sovereign and majestic and wonderful he is, but then also like how much more he loves me. So you
said that you felt like the way that God's uniquely gifted you is that just that you love engaging in relationship, and you love making those deep connections with people. How do you want him to see that? What's the big ask there? What do you want to see him do with that?
I want a job that I want, like, a fun job that's, like, exciting. Like, I don't want, you know, when she goes to school, I don't want to go back to being a nurse. Like, I mean, if that's what he wants me to do, I will do it. And I know he'll, you know, meet me there. And I don't know. I just, like, kind of feel like he's putting something on my heart. I don't know what he's doing because I don't really know what my, like, technical gifts are, I guess I should say. I know what my people gifts and my relational gifts are.
But how he's going to use that vocationally.
Yeah. So I'm, like, I just keep, a lot of times when I'm driving to church or driving to, like, different Bible studies, I just kind of get real, like, excited, mm-hmm. and just, like, I have all these thoughts of, like, oh, like, and maybe this is the seven in me, I guess, an Enneagram seven, like, so I'm, like, maybe, like, I should write a book about this, and I'm, like, I cannot write anything, like, I was not a good writer, my teachers would just pass me, like, you know, because, I mean, they gave me good grades, but it was, like,
because they were like, she's so nice. Yeah, she really enjoyed talking to her.
Her grades matter to her. And, you know, she's, this just bless her heart, she's not a good writer. So, like, that just shows you, like, I'm open to, like, whatever it is. Like, obviously, I want to be, like, the next gen hat maker, but that's probably not going to happen. But I honestly keep just praying back to God, like, what's the thing you want? Like, because it's like if he could, like, part the sea for Moses, then whatever it is he's made for me, I just need to know that. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like he's telling me right now, like, well, I didn't tell Moses right away either. Like, so I'm, like, I'm just kind of that waiting, like, what's the next thing? And maybe it just being a mom and a wife and a neighbor. That's, like, maybe that's it. I don't know. So, but in my mind, like, yes, I want to be the next gen hat maker.
Yeah. I love that.
No, I'm serious.
So what I'm hearing from you is that when Jessica Denny here and I talk about how big and famous our podcast is going to get, obviously, that we should also be including God in the equation, like asking, is this what you want for us? Or, I don't know, is that sound like what we should be doing as good Christians?
I feel like I kind of have this, like, theory, and this is, like, so not churchy, but, like, the all creativity
comes
from God. Like, we are not creative. Like, he, like, we're just dust, you know? And I feel like any creativity, it's from him, I really feel like. So... Mm.
Absolutely. I think that's part of our image bearerness.
Yes.
Is that he, that's how we reflect him, is he is, like, the ultimate creator. He is ultimately creative. And that's one of the ways that he reflects himself in us.
I feel like God reflected less creativity in me than most people.
Yes, but you are purpose-driven.
I am. Thank you. Let's relive that moment over and over and over.
Is that a joke?
So that was in our first podcast where we kind of introduce everything. I mistakenly and out of bodily said the term purpose-driven, and I'm never going to live it down because it was, like, super churchy and Christianese, and she thought it was real funny and made fun of me relentlessly after the microphone was off. During the podcast, she kept a good straight face, so...
I think that might have launched my... No, that's what launched my first edit alert.
Oh, did you have...
Get Your Motor Running.
Oh, okay. Wait, that was on that one. Okay, I couldn't remember. Okay,
got it. They're all running together.
They are all kind of...
Did you use that
term?
That's
what she's saying.
To be intentional? Is that what you meant to say?
No, I... sometimes when the mic is rolling, I get a little flustered, and I just try to make sure I'm filling the
silence. She panics and says Christianese.
So, yeah, when sometimes I'll say things that I'm like, that's not how I talk in real life. And that was one of those moments. I've never said that before and probably never will again.
Right, and if you were doing this with someone else, they would have just let it go,
right,
and no one else
right
would have noticed.
Well, then there are some people that can say things like that and sound normal. Like, you just said image bearer. I can't say that. It sounds weird when
so?
I say it. No, it doesn't work for me. Something more sarcastic works for me. But some people can talk like that, and I'm just not one of them. And Jess knows that.
I caught that purpose-driven. It perked up my ears.
Wait, so had y'all already been thinking about this before Kristen had said that she wanted something like this?
I think we both separately kind of have our gen hat maker ideals. Yeah, so you're in good company.
Gen hat maker, you better...
Yeah, watch out.
Watch your back.
Yeah, because that's really probably going to happen here in the next couple
probably
of minutes.
Probably.
What are some of your favorite? Because you have to have some favorites that you listen to.
You know, that's somebody else asked me that, and it's humiliating to say, actually, I just listened to murder podcasts.
Yeah, true crime is my jam.
Mine too.
But I feel like I could throw some. I think that God Centered Mom has some good stuff. She's local.
And then I'm super into all of the Enneagram podcasts.
Yeah. Wait, so what are you?
I like, on the Enneagram?
Are you like three or...
I've given her the book.
She ordered me and paid for the book, and it was delivered to my house. Partially because she loves me, and also partially because she's obsessed and wanted a sounding board to talk about it.
Yeah, and Kyle, who is a 9, won't talk to me about it at all.
That's my husband won't discuss it. He wouldn't even take. He would not even take the test. I had to do things.
Do you think he's a 9? Do you think he's a 9?
Well, he took the test and he got like a 3-2. But then we have a cousin who's like works under the Suzanne, who like she
Suzanne's
yeah, so she know, and she's known Cameron, and she says that he's a 1-2. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like he's probably a 1.
Yes. Well, who knows? Because he won't do the work.
Yeah, he won't. Yeah.
I want to do the work. I was just trying to read the book in order. Okay. And
oh, so that's a 6, because a 6 will want to know everything.
Or maybe a 1.
No, I don't think I'm a 6, but I really don't know what
Do you walk into the room and you know the worst case scenario?
No.
Like, okay, yeah.
No, and that's why I have a supervisee at work who is a 6, and she said that's what she does, and I was like, I don't really
And you
do
know
that.
Half of the populations are 6s, apparently, and I'm like, it's why I've been so uncomfortable when people are asking.
Really?
Like, they have to have all their questions
You're
answered.
You're a 7.
I'm a 7-8, just
a 7.
Like her. Yeah.
I am not an 8, any part 8, but I might be a 7, I might be a 2. I've yet to determine it.
I thought I was an 8 at first. Sorry, we're derailing this conversation because half the people listening are like, you don't even know what you're talking about. I thought I was an 8, but then I realized I wasn't that angry.
Yes.
I'm like, no, I only mildly care about things.
Yes, and it can pass really quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, back on the rails. We'll try this again.
We'll do the Enneagram session with you, Christy, once Laura reads the book, okay?
Yes.
We'll
have
you back.
It would be kind of fun to do.
Yes,
that's right.
You're totally
right.
Yes.
Okay, so I heard you say earlier that at 34 you had a major life change, mm-hmm. which I know that's when you met your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was when everything came to him with the uni and everything. Okay. So in recent years, maybe even more recently than that, how do you think God's been working on you and growing you?
Okay, so that, when I was 34, so I came to my parents' house. I went to rehab for a week to detox. Mm-hmm. Got out of rehab, and then the next day I went to church. You know, I was super embarrassed. You know, these people have been praying for me. It was a church I didn't grow up in. My parents moved when I was in college. So it was like a whole other city, you know, state. So I went to that church, and the preacher said that, you know what makes the angels praise the most, or... praise the angels rejoice most when, and it was when a repentant sinner returns, and I that just was like, oh, like, so I'm like,
there's
the
a party,
star. Yeah,
yeah,
party.
They are
and
celebrating.
It's okay. And so that church just really welcomed me, and that was the church my husband went to. So next day I met him, mm-hmm. but then, you know, if you guys know about recovery, you're supposed to like get your stuff together, you're not supposed to get in another relationship, and so we just didn't really do anything about it for like mm-hmm. a month, and then we were married within like 7 months of me being sober.
Wow.
So that is crazy.
I actually think that, like, recovery says, like, for a year.
Yeah, they do. I did have a Christian counselor that I was seeing, like, and she was like, I think it's okay for you to be in a relationship. And maybe, I don't know, that could... I still look back and I was like, there were some burdens for... I wasn't mentally, like, okay sometimes. So I wasn't able to fight fair, you know, or I wasn't... Mm-hmm. You know, first year marriage can be really... hard mm-hmm. and, you know, really fun too, but so I wasn't always like equipped to handle some of that stuff, so that mm-hmm. was kind of where that's
you
where
could
I met
see,
Jesus.
You could see that reasoning
yeah I could
there.
Oh totally now mm-hmm. I'm like, it's, you know, it'd be nice to wait 2 years because you're just a more of a whole person and more sure of who you are, and luckily I was like, my identity's in Christ, and mm-hmm. yeah, I was just kind of letting Christ carry a lot, so it was a very humble time mm-hmm. that I felt like God, you know, I also just say Christ was just carrying me. And that's when I met Christ, too, I say, because I was, I think it was like a couple days after I got out of rehab, and I was doing a Bethmore Bible study with that church, and one of the verses was the Deuteronomy verse, when you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of leveled me, because I had never been more, like, zeroed than, you know, isosymmetric mm-hmm. is that moment. You know, I had, like, only a bag, like, none of my worldly possessions came with me. You know, I was in my parents' house. You know, I was, like, starting over at 34. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, and it wasn't even like that I had these huge aspirations. Like, I'm going to memorize the whole Bible, and I'm going to, like, save Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just that I knew that I could only, I guess, continue or do better with Jesus. And it was just mm-hmm. a real sincere prayer. I guess God accepted it, and then he just changed everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I was doing her Bible study, I had never done a Bethmore Bible I'll say. It was kind of a lot for an unchurched person who'd been, like, on drugs.
Which one was it?
It was The Breaking Free.
Oh, that's a great
one. It's a great one.
Especially for where you
were.
Yeah,
it really was.
I'm nodding my head as if I know.
Yeah, it's just, it's about, like, it's kind of about, like, addictions, but even like,
yeah, but more, yeah, just more like strongholds.
Yeah, strongholds, yeah. Like, and, like, even, like, where's God, and, like, if you had, like, been molested or something, like, things like that, like, big topics. And she was, on one of her videos, she was like, I was driving down the street, and I was praising Jesus, and I had my hands in the air, and I was like, I will never be like that. Like, that is uncapable. Like, I never could get there, and I will never get there. And, like, that is me today. Like, you know, like, I, all my, like, I just want, like, I don't listen to, like, regular music. Not that it's wrong, but it's just, like, I want to listen to more, like, podcasts that point me to Christ. I want.
So, are you saying you don't listen to a lot of murder podcasts? Is that what you're saying?
I did listen to a very popular one, like, the one that's kind of popular.
Serial?
I did listen to that one, but, well, the second season wasn't that good, but, and then there was another one that kind of has a curse word, and then the title, that one was really good.
S-Town?
Yes.
Okay. It was good.
It was so good. Those characters were just...
It was heartbreaking. Yeah. But anyway, you're now the Beth Moore, praising Jesus in the car.
That's
like Bernie, the beginning scene of Bernie. Have y'all ever seen the movie Bernie?
Yes. No.
It's Jack Black plays like a, he's like a... mortician / kind of like deacon at the church, and anyway, he's singing in the
driving down the
road singing hymns.
So if we see you, we could really see an arm in the air.
Or me really talking to God, you know, like just something like that, or like so just that's like where my husband, like, he's really into CrossFit, and I'm always joke, well, that's how I feel about church, like, and it's like, it's not like, oh, like I'm a better Christian or something, it's just that I just really enjoy, like, oh, like there's this DBC and they have all these activities and all these Bible studies.
How did y'all end up in Dallas, and then specifically at Dallas Bible?
Okay, so once we were married a year, you know, we had that kind of like, oh, it was really great and really exciting and really like low times too with some of our fights, because we're very different personalities. So then we like threw another wrench on it. He's in the video game industry, and so you kind of have to live in big cities. So we up and moved after a year to LA.
Oh, wow.
And that was really hard, because what little bit of community I had built up, I had to like leave it all behind, and it was just he and I. But that was a really good place for God to grow our relationship too, even more so. And then also just I wasn't working then. And so just for me to spend time like praying, and I was really lonely. I'm a people person. And so that just was a lot of time with God. So long story short, we were there ended up being there for almost 3 years, which was way longer than we wanted. And then we were just like not really finding a church, not getting plugged in. And then one day he just comes home and he's like, yeah, we got to get out of here. And so he put like a feeler out on the internet, and then somehow Dallas contacted him. This was not on our radar. We're like, we didn't want, you know, we just came for the free, we were poor. So we just came for the free interview and like, you know, plane ride in a hotel room. And then when he got here, he's like, this is it. And I always say, like, the one time I know for sure the Holy Spirit was, like, doing physical work that I could see was, like, the car was driving itself from the airport to the hotel. Like, it was very obvious. Like, wait, this feels different than... So...
I know I asked you where... like how y'all ended up at DBC too, but before you answer that, where did you tell us where you're originally from?
Okay, so I was born in Virginia, Newport News, Virginia.
Okay.
And so when my mom got the divorce, we moved to Tennessee, and that's where she found Jesus. You know, I found Jesus. Mm-hmm. I guess I would say we became Christians. We're a Church of Christ, and that's where I went to college. That's where I worked as an adult. I mean, I did live in a couple other states temporary, like with nursing,
but a little bit, but from Tennessee. Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And then when I had to start my whole life over, I moved my parents to South Carolina, because they had moved when I was in college to South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So
that was it. Wasn't like you went.
Wasn't
to
like
a different
I went
neighborhood.
Home. No, it was like I went to a different state.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really bad. Like when I knew I was going to rehab, and they were like, "Pack your bag, you're going to rehab." And I like, oh, to me, this is a funny story, but this just shows you how bad it was. Like, so I packed a like huge suitcase, and I had like a prom dress in there, a tennis skirt, like no matching shoes.
You thought you were
like,
going to celebrity rehab.
I don't. Too much.
Her and Jen Hatmaker.
Yeah, you and Jen.
I didn't even know Jen, but
she's
You were a little.
Yeah, I was way less than grounded. But I do remember maybe this is what the Holy Spirit sounds like in my head, is that when I was sitting there and I was like, I don't want to go. Like, I thought another situation was going to take place. And then when I was, my my terms or my conditions, like, this is what's going to take place or being presented to me. And I was like, well, I can just really buck this. Or, and I was sitting on the floor and I was just like, I am not having this. I don't want my parents involved, which I don't know why. I guess Satan does that. Like, cause of course they love me and want to help.
Pride.
Yeah. I just really didn't want them to know about this. And then this little voice was just like, just go. And I had this like vision of like the ocean currents, like, and I try to explain this to people, and it sounds cheesy, but I want to ask God one day, like, what was that? Like, did you give me a vision? Mm-hmm. And it was just like how, like, all this stuff just goes. Like, you know, it's like this little current, this little jet stream goes here and does this thing. And it's like, just go. And so I was like, okay. And I went. And, yeah, and a few other times, especially concerning my husband, like, you know, when I was texting him for the first time, I was like, I don't text guys. Because that was, like, past my generation.
That's right.
I'm quite, I'm a little bit older. And then I was like, I don't
text You're guys. Our age.
Yes.
We don't text people.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not going to, now I do. But,
yeah, yeah.
But then I was like, I don't, and this little voice was like, just do it. And so I just, like, texted him this encouraging text, and that's, like, what started our relationship. So I was like, little ways I feel like, you know. Is that, that's way off topic. I'm sorry.
No, it's not off topic. So. That's, the topic is you. So anything about you is what we want to hear about.
Tonight we're learning about Christy.
And so when you you moved to LA, moved to Dallas, and then how long after you guys moved to Dallas did you discover DBC?
Okay, so since we didn't have a church in LA, and there weren't a lot of churches to choose from, like, they were huge. It was just a weird church. So once we came to Dallas, we're like, we're getting a church right away. So we found Church of Christ in the phone book, and we went straight to that one and pledged that day. Like, we're members, and got a life group. And, you know, Carson was born in that church. They, you know, we had several friends, but there was just something kind of missing for us. There wasn't, like, a really men's group, and I don't know. I went to the Bible studies, and I'm not gonna say what church. I think it's a great church, but just wasn't a fit for us. And he wasn't really comfortable there. I think I would have just stayed there and just made it work, but he was just like, this isn't for us. And so I go to BSF, and so I heard about this, like, Grace Bible Church. The leader, she goes to that, the main speaker. And so I thought, well, we'll just go to that one. We'll try that one. And so when we went to DBC, we thought that was Grace Bible. And we're like, this is great. And so we, like, started going there, and we were like, when are we going to see Susan? And then they're like, this isn't Grace Bible. So it was kind of like,
God drove the car there again.
I guess.
Yeah. Grace Bible is also a great church.
Yes.
I didn't know it
was. But yes,
it was a Christmas thing, and they were like, "Oh, this was the church." Yeah. So.
And not a few years ago, I guess, like, last year, our life group. This was pre you being in it, but our life group got together with the girls.
I don't remember being there. Yeah.
Yeah. This was before she went there. Got together with the girls in your life group, and I just remember you saying, like, "I'm so thankful that I'm at this church, and I've made, like, really good friends, and it changed everything."
It changed everything.
And now I don't know who's in your life group.
Alina Sage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Daniel. And then we have the Tarrant. You know the guy who does the parking? And then the girl who's at the booth there
in our life
group. They're new. Mm-hmm. They're Sparks.
Like that Wendy's.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I don't know them, but
we've had some people come in and out because, like, they have babies and things change. So
I just got to work with Alina on the Seder, and she's so sweet.
She's so talented.
She's sweet.
She's so talented.
She made those tables look really pretty.
Yeah, I bet she did. She's got really great taste.
She does.
One question I took off from here is, do you have a favorite Bible verse? Because I live in fear that someone's going to ask me that question one of these days. So I think pretty much that brings us to how do you still like to grow? How would you still like to grow? And how can we pray for you?
Well, I would like to, I would like to know the thing I'm supposed to do, but that's not,
like the big reveal?
Yeah. I guess the big reveal, but then I was
just
thinking,
just what you're going to do with the rest of your life.
Yeah, but then I was like, what if it's like, okay, like, I know this girl in my Bible study Wednesday night, and she's single, and she's, like, waiting for her husband. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, what if God's like, you're going to marry Joe, but it's going to be 10 more years. Like, what did you want to know? The waiting. Like, so I'm like, I guess I don't necessarily, that's my big prayer, is, like, just be comfortable in the waiting or not, like, rush it away. Because, like, what if it takes a lot out of me and this is, like, the most rest I'm going to get? You just don't. You know, you don't know. So I guess,
and there can be a lot of fruit in the waiting.
Yeah.
There can be a lot of growth and change and self-discovery and God-discovery.
And I don't know if we talked about this just you and I or if this was, like, we had discussion in podcast, but what you're saying kind of reminds me probably because, like, I don't know if it's extroverts or what. I hate to make gross generalizations, but, like,
I've always struggled with living small, like, and I remember in seminary, one of my professors once saying that sometimes God calls you to a big, bold life, and sometimes He calls you to live quietly, and that there was really no distinction. There was really no distinction there with Him. What He calls you to is where you most glorify Him, and I've tried to like help myself be present where I am. Mm-hmm. Like knowing that that's where God has me in this moment, and whatever that is, that I hope that I'm doing it to the maximum of His glory.
And yeah, I think when you're always trying to see so far out into the distance, you can miss what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. It's a seven. Really, it's a seven-ish thing to do.
Really nice husband.
Yeah. Do you hear me? It's a seven-ish thing to do. Yeah. Well, to live out in the future.
They say that we plan for the future. We're happiest when we're making plans. I don't think that's always how I am, because I feel like I am being, I'm good at the moment, but then I'm like, maybe not. But I feel like, and I was going to ask you this, like, I feel like being a Christian is easier for me because I know heaven is coming. Like, and I don't know what other numbers if they have that same feeling, but it's like, anything that happens here, I'm like, oh, but we're going to have heaven. It's so much easier for me to, like, take whatever that's not good here, not perfect, because it's like, oh, I know heaven's coming. And
you can reframe and throw your silver lining on it.
Yeah, I do have that, too.
Maybe I am a seven.
You might be a seven.
I have that thought of just, like...
And that's not easy for some people. Like, I have some very close relationships where they're very caught up, you know, that, like, this really matters, you know?
Oh, yeah, I would not say... That would be something easy for my husband.
Okay, I don't want to throw my husband under the bus, but yeah,
he's the one.
I just did. She has no friends
that are like that. Yeah. It was her husband the whole time. I say my friends, I mean husband.
Yeah. Yeah. So great. It's younger too. I don't know. Like I've done it the other way. Like, he's been so good to like walk with God the whole time didn't break any of the rules, and you know, so. Really good.
No, I just think that's a gift of yours, and he might have different gifts.
So this week we can be praying for you, and this week and on, just be praying that God continues to give you direction to harness those gifts that He's given you, and that friendliness and care about other people, and that gentle heart for others.
Maybe I'm not hearing this. I'm like, I need a more gentle heart for my child and my husband, I guess. Yeah.
That would be specific.
Yeah. Like, maybe that's, that, like, right now, today, when I am as a mom and a wife and a really bad homemaker.
I doubt that.
I'm okay with it, you know. But.
I feel like what makes a good homemaker is delighting in your child, which you do. You spoke some really sweet words about her. So who cares if it's a little messy?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our interview. Okay. We're so thankful that you came on. I feel like you're a natural.
Okay.
So the Gin Hat Maker future could be yours.
Could be something.
But we are going to pray that you're able to focus on the now and see what good is happening right in front of you.
I like that.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for joining us.